Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents His Chosen Mate by Julie Treadle. Narrated by Joe Hempel and Carly Robbins. James, Chapter 1. It was just another day on the job of what had turned into my pathetic, mundane life.
Sheriff, looks like they're moving forward with charges against the boys in the movie theater instance.
God damn it. Are you serious?
Yeah, looks like there's a new officer in town and he's convinced the district attorney they have a case. Get on the phone with Mr. Terrence and see if we could shut this shit down before it escalates any further. Have they set a hearing date yet?
Yes, next week. Clearly, they aren't that worried about this case. It's low priority on the docket right now.
Who'd they assign to it?
Judge Carter.
I groaned.
What? I thought he liked you.
Oh, he does, to an extent.
Because you dated his daughter?
Something like that, I grumbled as he left my office to take a call in the next room. Alone, I tried not to let myself think about that time in my life. Catherine Carter was pig-headed, stubborn, and argumentative. Being with her had been a true whirlwind and some of the happiest days of my life. She was my everything. But she'd made it clear that she wasn't interested in marriage or a long-term commitment, and I wanted to claim her for life. I had even been ready to give up everything. My life in the pack, my family, my chosen brotherhood with the six-pack. Everything. I was even willing to renounce who and what I was to be with this woman, and my wolf was 100% on board with the plan. As far as he was concerned, she was it for us. And then she'd broken my heart with her declaration for independence. It was around that time that Thomas had asked me to step up as the new sheriff in town and protect Collier Pack. How could I say no to my alpha and one of my very best friends? I couldn't. The fact that Catherine had set boundaries I couldn't breach had only made it easier for me to say yes. Still, we'd broken things off, and for a while I'd tried to stay away and give her the space she wanted. But I can't. Lord knows I've tried, but I can't. I need her like I need air to breathe. But she's only human, and she doesn't feel the same about me. I don't know how to fix it, and I have an entire pack to protect. Secrets that aren't fully mine to share. I could never put my pack or my alpha in danger. It was my job to shelter them from the human world, not invite humans into it. I knew in my heart that I would never take a mate. Catherine was mine even if I couldn't claim her as such. This was simply the life I was meant to live, and I'd made peace with that and was doing the best I could with the cards I'd been dealt. My phone rang and I scowled. Now what?
Sheriff Blakely.
Quick, 911, we have an emergency.
Recognizing the voice, my heart plummeted into my stomach. Winnie, is that you? What happened?
No one told me it was Clay's birthday.
I groaned. That's it? You just called in an emergency for Clay's birthday?
Yes, now drop whatever you're doing and get your sexy little ass over here right now. He'll be home at 5, and if I'm going to surprise him, I need all of you here. I already talked to Cruz and Brady on account they're working with him today, and they're going to stall for a few extra minutes. But it's important to have all his boys here to help celebrate.
I chuckled. Clay will hate this plan.
No, he won't. He was just complaining how the six of you haven't gotten together in a hot minute. Now move it. We're running out of time.
I shook my head and looked around at the files on my desk. They could wait another day. This was Clay, after all. Heck, there was nothing I wouldn't do for any of the six-pack. They were my closest and best friends since childhood, and we always stuck together through thick or thin. I'm on my way, I told her.
Yes. Thank you. You're the best. I owe you.
And I'm going to remind you of that often. She was still laughing as she disconnected the call. I gathered my stuff and locked up my office for the night.
Heading out early, sir? Deaton asked.
Apparently Clay's birthday now constitutes as a pack emergency, I explained with a chuckle.
It's been a slow day around here anyway, he said.
I knew a passive-aggressive statement when I heard one. Draw straws for who carries the emergency phone this evening. Ryder will be on call tonight and through the weekend starting at 10. Be available for any emergencies until then, and otherwise enjoy your weekend. Thanks, boss, they both told me as I fled the building. I had already gotten Clay's present weeks ago, but wasn't expecting to see him today. On my way home to grab it, I called Thomas.
Yes, I'm coming, he answered.
I laughed. Winnie already got to you, huh?
Yes, we're wrangling the girls to drop them off at Peyton's, and then we'll be on our way. Trust me, 5 o'clock, I know.
She is quite persuasive.
She definitely is that, he agreed. We have to swing by the barn and grab Opal so he doesn't get too suspicious if Ruby bails early since she's the one on call this weekend, or something like that.
You probably just got suckered,
he sighed. You're probably right. Are you able to get away?
Yep, it's pretty quiet here and paperwork can wait until Monday. Besides, she did call it a 911 emergency.
She didn't.
Oh, she did.
That's hysterical.
Thomas, come on, we're going to be late, his mate called in the background.
Gotta run. See you in a little bit.
Good luck.
I pulled up to my house and jumped out to dash inside and grab Clay's gift. The lady at the store even wrapped it for me. I wasn't sure that was something they normally did for free or not, but I asked nicely and winked at her. She'd readily agreed and even gave me her phone number. I had that effect on females, whether shifters or human. It never seemed to matter. I tried not to abuse it too much, but I wasn't above using it to my advantage. Though knowing I wasn't going to even date anytime soon, if ever, I should probably feel a little guilty about it, but I didn't. Back in the car, I sped over to Winnie and Clay's place just as the others were starting to arrive, too. Winnie ran outside, waving her arms in the air.
You guys can't park here or he'll know.
I groaned. This was turning out to be a pain in my ass.
Come on, you guys can park at the diner and we can run over together, Wyatt offered, though I noticed his mate, Kate, jumped out and went inside to help Winnie instead.
The rest of us drove over to the diner. I wasn't looking forward to stripping and carrying my clothes to run back. At the last minute, Thomas drove by and slowed to a stop when he saw us.
What are you doing? Are we supposed to be meeting at Clay's? He asked.
I rolled my eyes. Winnie doesn't want all the vehicles there when he gets home.
I told you, Lily said.
Fine, we'll park here too.
Or you could just give us all a lift and park in the abandoned barn back behind his house, I suggested. Not enough room for all of us, but one truck will fit.
Good idea. I like how you think, Lily said, impressed. Hop in the back and we'll drive everyone over.
Wyatt, Austin, Emmett, and I jumped into the back and rode back to Clay's place. It felt like old times already, having my boys all together riding in a truck out into the fields after we dropped Lily off at the house. By the time we made it back, Winnie was on edge and a nervous wreck. Bran and Ruby were there already, too. Ruby is one of Thomas's sisters, and she and Clay are close friends, as they share management responsibilities at the dairy barn where he works. Living in a large wolf shifter pack meant everyone pitched in for the good of the pack.
I'd certainly taken on responsibilities that I wasn't overly fond of.
We all did what we had to do. Thomas became our current alpha after his father stepped down several years ago. Zack had been a fair and strong alpha, but my loyalty to Thomas went far beyond pack obligations. The six-pack are my chosen family. Not that I didn't have a good relationship with my own family, but I wasn't nearly as close to them as I am to the guys. For as long as I could remember, it was the six-pack taking on the world. Shortly after high school, Wyatt met Austin's cousin, Kate, his true mate. Their mating period had been a long one, which is practically unheard of for true mates. But we were so young, and they had things they needed or at least wanted to do before officially settling down. In truth, they'd spent every single day together, so I didn't really understand why it mattered if they were mated or not. Next came Thomas. We'd all sat back and enjoyed the show as his stubborn, opinionated, unfiltered mate blew in like a tornado and turned his life upside down. They took over as Alpha and Pack Mother soon after, and were popping out daughters like crazy. We all teased him frequently about being unable to give us a proper male heir. Then again, he had six older sisters, so maybe it was genetic or something. I'd found my Catherine around the same time, but as there were significant issues with her being human and I was a shifter, I'd kept her to myself. It was the one thing in my life I'd never shared with the guys, and I likely never would. I knew it wasn't healthy for me to think of her as my anything. But I couldn't help it. She would always be mine, and quite frankly, I did a lot of unhealthy things when it came to Catherine Carter. Clay, on the other hand, was probably the most level-headed of all of us, but he hadn't handled mating Winnie well. I think we were all happy to have that behind us now. Austin and Emmett remained blissfully happy bachelors.
"They're on their way! Everyone in place!" Winnie shouted.
The place looked like a party store puked all over it. There were streamers and balloons everywhere. Clay was going to positively hate it. Yet, because it's important to his mate, he'd love it, too. Being the center of attention was never his favorite place to be. I was happy to see she only kept it to his core friends, those of us that truly meant something to him. He'd be okay with this, maybe even happy, since he was always harping on us to get together. In truth, I missed the easy days of just hanging out with my best friends without a care in the world.
"He's here,"
Lily Whisper yelled at us. We all kept quiet, as if he couldn't hear nearly a dozen hearts beating in his house. We were shifters, after all. It wasn't like our accelerated hearing made it easy for surprises. "Come on, Clay. Just let us come in for a little bit. I'm starving, and Winnie always makes the best dinners," Cruz whined. "Go to Kate's if you're that hard up for a hot meal," Clay grumbled. "I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Kate's, but I live with Peyton, who does a lot of the cooking there, which means it's all I ever eat. Winnie's cooking is a real treat." It wasn't true, and we all knew it, but they were doing a fantastic job of distracting him as he walked in. "Surprise!" we all yelled as he stumbled backwards in obvious surprise. "Happy birthday, Clay!" I shouted. He groaned and shook his head. "Whose idea was this?" We all pointed to Winnie as a wide smile crossed his face. He swooped her up in his arms and kissed her hard and unashamedly. How I envied him.
Catherine. Chapter 2. Dinner with my parents had been a disaster. Everything was fine right up until Dad mentioned him.
"Had a new case cross my desk this morning. A couple of Collier kids stirring up some trouble in town. I imagine James will be around to help clear it up."
"James?" Mom had asked. "Catherine's James?"
"The one and only."
"I always did like that boy."
"Why exactly did you break up with him, Catherine?"
I groaned, just thinking back on it, and I couldn't eat fast enough to get out of there. James Blakely, the one I let get away, or at least that's what everyone in my family seemed to think. In truth, we had been young, and the intensity of my feelings for him had scared the life out of me. I regretted letting him go, though. He'd wanted a commitment, like the happily ever after kind, and it had made my head swim. I'd tried to date since then, and no one ever seemed to make the cut. No one else was him. He was the mark of which I measured all men to, and everyone else fell significantly short. Sometimes I wondered if I sucked it up and went to him, if he would still take me back. But my ego wouldn't let me try. Instead, every time I was in the same room with him, the tension between us put me on edge, and I said and did things I didn't mean, or when possible, I just panicked and walked away. I knew it was just a defense mechanism. We'd only dated for a short time, and that had been years ago, yet my body still craved him. He still haunted my every dream, and was the star of all my fantasies. I got hot and wet just hearing his name, and all it did was piss me off. "Can we please just have dinner without talking about him?"
"We just worry about you, sweetie. You don't date. Work consumes you. There's more to life, Catherine." I huffed, ready to pack up leftovers and get the hell out of there.
"I know, Mom. But I'm happy with my life. Really." It wasn't entirely a lie. I loved helping children in the community. They meant a lot to me, and in some cases, I was the only advocate they'd ever have.
"Will I be seeing you in my courtroom next week?"
"I don't think so. The case hasn't been brought to my attention, I told him honestly. He smiled slyly.
I don't know any cases involving minors that you don't manage to get your hands on.
Fine, I'll bite. What's the case?
3 Collier minors got kicked out of the movie theater and then vandalized the building in anger.
Vandalized how? Mom smacked his arm and scowled at him. That wasn't vandalism and you know it. You shouldn't even be taking the case. Colliers will handle it themselves. They always do, she reminded him.
But this wasn't in town. And there's a new cop in town that's got the DA all riled up over it.
How did they vandalize the building? I asked again. Dad sighed.
Water balloons.
Seriously? That's it?
That's it.
Did they at least leave the balloon mess behind?
Nope. They cleaned it all up.
I glared at him. I'm with Mom. Why are you even accepting this case?
The new guy added public misconduct to the case, probably after Bucky told him destruction of property wasn't going to hold.
Well, a public misconduct charge should come across the desk soon. I'll take a look at it, but it sounds pretty cut and dry here.
Maybe you should get in there and investigate what's going on over there, I snorted.
Dad, Elizabeth will never let that happen and you know it. Heck, even when I dated James, Collier property lines were off limits. Mom frowned. You've never been there? No more than a drive-through town or an uncomfortable attempt to eat at the tavern. Not something I'd put on my to-do list again. They're a strange bunch. Call it paranoid or protective or whatever. They don't like outsiders and go out of their way to make you feel uncomfortable if you dare go there. But they're so nice. I was just talking to Peyton at Powell's Grocery, and she was telling me all about the greenhouse her brothers-in-law were building behind her house. They have a full hydroponics system up and running at Kate's Diner, too. It's so fascinating.
And when the Larkin Trailer Park burned down a few years back, they all up and moved into Collier territory. They didn't seem to have any issues with that.
I don't know what to tell you guys. Maybe it's just me they don't like then. Oh, Catherine, don't be so dramatic. Why are we even talking about the Colliers?
Because of the case, Dad reminded me.
But there was a mischievous spark in his eyes that told me it was far more than that. Okay. Well, I love you both and thanks for dinner, but I'm exhausted and ready to settle in for the night. Can I help with dishes?
I've got it, Dad said. You go get some rest.
I got up with a smile and kissed his cheek, then hugged Mom goodbye. My dad was one of the good guys. While Mom had stayed home since I was born, took care of the house, and managed his life every night Dad was home for dinner and cleaned up afterward. Those simple gestures were a love language all their own and something I longed for in a man. I didn't mind cooking or cleaning up afterwards, but give me a man who would do the laundry and I'd marry him in a heartbeat. The drive home was mostly uneventful, but as I pulled up to my house, there was a car parked out front that I didn't recognize. I lived in the woods on a dirt road. I liked the solitude. James had liked it too, and it helped me pick it out when we were still dating. Brushing that thought from my mind, I grabbed my handgun from the glove compartment and put it in my coat pocket and then fisted the pepper spray on my keychain as I got out of the car. A single girl in this world couldn't be cautious enough. Who's there? I yelled out. The door to the dark sedan opened, and Alan stepped out. Tension began to subside, but only a little. It was late, and as far as I could remember, he had no reason to be here. Plus, it was as if something was missing. I stopped and listened to the surroundings. I could still hear the sounds of the night, but I was certain something was off. My usual sense of peace was replaced with anxiety. I couldn't really explain it. Alan, what are you doing here?
Hi, sorry to startle you. New car. Do you like it?
Yeah, sure.
I was getting worried. You're usually home by now and you weren't answering your phone.
I looked down at where I'd already dialed 911 ready to call them before I realized it was just him. I found the phone was still on Do Not Disturb from an earlier meeting I had. Sorry, all fixed. I forgot to take it off Do Not Disturb.
Where were you?
I didn't know why he thought that was any of his business, but I answered him anyway. My parents for dinner.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think to look there,
he muttered to himself. Alan, is there something you need?
Well, a new case came in today, and I wanted to make sure you saw it.
Alan worked with me. He was relatively new to the area and seemed to just attach himself to me. Half the office thought we were dating. I'd agreed to dinner with him once. It wasn't terrible, but I knew without a doubt he just wasn't the one for me. He wasn't James, I thought with a sigh. Normally, I kept my obsession with the sexy sheriff of Collier under wraps. I supposed with my parents' insistence on talking about him tonight that it was bound to have escaped the careful little box I crammed those emotions into, as I did once again. Is there something that needs to be addressed tonight? I asked him, suddenly worried I'd missed something important for not turning my phone back on sooner.
No. It can wait.
Oh, so why are you here then? He sighed.
Fine, you caught me. I haven't seen you much, and I missed you.
Alan, we see each other every day in the office.
I know, I meant outside of work. I don't really have a lot of friends in the area, and I get lonely.
And that was how he'd convinced me to go out with him that one time. Look, I don't think that's such a...
Just as friends, he insisted.
Please? Tomorrow night? You're not doing anything this weekend, are you? There wasn't anything on your calendar at the office.
You went through my desk at the office?
He shrugged sheepishly. Alan, you can't do that.
I know, but will you? Just dinner?
Fine, I conceded even though I didn't want to. Anything to get him to leave so I could crash for the night. There wasn't exactly much excitement in my life these days to spend Friday night with my parents. It wouldn't hurt me to go out once in a while. Alan stepped closer to me, and I started to get uncomfortable. That should have been a red flag enough to bail on him for another date, but mostly he was a sweet guy, and I didn't know how to get out of it. I didn't exactly have a ton of experience with the opposite sex. James had been the only man I'd ever seriously dated.
Look, it's late, and I'm tired. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll pick you up at 6,
Alan said. How about if I just meet you somewhere?
Nah, I got this.
He was entirely clueless to the fact that I was uncomfortable with this situation. I wasn't sure what exactly changed, but I was suddenly at ease, and that feeling of sanctuary I got from my house made me shudder. It somehow also gave me courage.
Alan, I'll meet you.
Where are we going? He closed the gap between us right into my personal space and reached out to take my hand.
Relax, Catherine. I said I'd pick you up here.
Suddenly, there was a growl from somewhere nearby that caused Alan to stumble off the porch. I could have saved him, but instead I pulled my hand back at the last second. There was another growl. I should have been terrified, but I wasn't. There was something almost comforting about it, and I held back a laugh trying to escape as Alan ran for his car.
Call animal control! What the hell was that?
He yelled through a cracked window in the safety of his car, while I stood there on my porch entirely unaffected.
Look around you, Alan. We're out in the country. I'm not calling animal control for a piece of nature. I choose to just live in peace with the animals here. He won't hurt me, I told him with certainty.
If anything, the dog or wolf or whatever it was, more likely had been trying to protect me from Alan, and for that I was grateful. That seemed like an odd thing to think about a wild beast, but I couldn't bring myself to be scared of it.
Catherine, please, at least get inside the house so I know you're safe.
I'm fine, I told him, but if it meant he'd leave, I was all for it. Thanks, I whispered into the night. Not for Alan, but to whatever beast had just scared the life out of him.
James, Chapter 3. The party had lasted a lot longer than I'd anticipated, but it was great to catch up with the guys. I missed them when we didn't get together often enough.
but I was just as much to blame for that. As soon as I left Clay and Winnie's house, I drove home and parked. I didn't even go into the house. I just stripped and left my clothes on the front porch, and then I shifted to make the 6.3 miles run to Catherine's house. Lately, I couldn't even remember the last time I'd slept in my own bed. I probably spent more time in my fur than any other wolf in Collier Pack. I couldn't help myself. For a few years, I'd managed to stay away from her, but I always kept tabs on my woman. About a month ago, a new male had moved to town. It hadn't taken much to find out he was working with Catherine. I didn't like that, but when I'd discovered she'd gone out on a date with him, my obsession had flared worse than ever. I was usually settled into the little den I'd made for myself under her front porch earlier. Tonight, I was late because of the party. When I arrived, he was there. I could smell him before I even reached the house, and he set my wolf on edge. If Catherine got serious about this guy, I didn't know what I was going to do. At some point, I knew I was going to have to confide in Thomas and ask him to either sedate me, command me to forget her, or restrain me from going after him. The sad truth was that I didn't think any of those methods would even work. My draw to her was as strong as any mating call I'd ever heard of.
"Mine," my wolf growled in my head. We were certainly in agreement there.
I snuck around the corner and ducked under the deck when I saw they were standing on the front steps, talking. The fear and stress I'd smelled rolling off her as I'd approached seemed to suddenly disappear. I wasn't sure what had changed, but she was no longer afraid. Still, I could sense she was uneasy, and when that asshole took her hand, all I could see was red. It took everything in my power not to burst out of my hiding spot and rip his throat out. How dare he touch my mate? A deep guttural growl rumbled through me as I started to hone in on my prey. The guy stumbled off the porch and ran for his car. I couldn't hear what they were saying over the roaring in my ears, but Catherine turned to walk back inside.
"Thanks," I clearly heard her whisper.
My wolf settled, somehow knowing that was meant for us. The idiot who'd almost lost his life tonight drove off without any further interactions. A few moments later, the front door opened again. I could smell steak that made my mouth water. She walked down the steps and around the corner to where there was no lattice covering the side of the porch, and she set down a large steak and a bowl of water. I lifted my head and knew the moment she caught sight of me. She gasped, then smiled.
"Thanks for having my back. He'll be back tomorrow around 6 o'clock if you happen to be around. I may need an assist. He doesn't seem to take no for an answer very well."
Suddenly, her shoulders sagged and she frowned.
"My life has been reduced to talking to a wild wolf. I'm an idiot. I should be calling animal control to handle this, not feeding him."
She sighed, then shook her head.
"I know you can't understand me, but I'm not afraid of you. I appreciate what you did tonight. I hope you're comfortable enough under there. Sweet dreams, my wolf."
She walked away, leaving me stunned. She knew I was here. She wasn't afraid of me. My heart lightened, yet I couldn't let myself hope for even a second that she could actually feel this bond between us. She was only human, after all. With Catherine safely in her house, I happily ate the steak and lapped up the water before settling down for the night. Nothing would stop me from being there. 6 o'clock. It was a date. I settled down and slept more soundly than I had in a long time. The next morning I awoke early and ran back home. It was Saturday, so I didn't have much on my plate, but I wasn't dumb enough to hang around during the day. That was just asking to be shot by some well-meaning do-gooder. Running roughly 12.5 miles a day in my fur was keeping my wolf strong. It also seemed to make me hungry. Once home, I grabbed my clothes off the porch and let myself in. I went straight for the shower, then changed and called Thomas.
"Hey," he answered, knowing it was just me.
"Breakfast?
Kate's in 20.
"Perfect. I'm starving." I wanted to talk this madness over with him, but I couldn't. Catherine was my burden to bear.
We weren't even on speaking terms anyway, so there was no reason to drag him into this. Still, I needed to talk to someone to...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?